flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
All right, so we've been talking about the Cavs. They get 2 new All-Stars added yesterday. And then we end up talking about Jared Allen. And we start saying, should he be an All-Star? Should he not be an All-Star? Where is he? Where is he? Should he be in? Did the Cavs get 3? And that's probably pretty fair when you look at the rest of the league and you see how competitive things are. Is that right? So let me start there. And I'm not saying did he get snubbed, but should he be an All-Star, Jeff? Not snubbed. Should he be an All-Star?
He and 12 other guys in the Eastern Conference, yes.
So if there's an injury, he should be someone who is considered.
Certainly.
Yeah.
Certainly.
Yeah, I think so too. So then we also got into this other conversation about Cavs centers in general. And I'll let you start the conversation because Sam Amico is going to join us in about 20 minutes. So you brought up a question, and I had to think about it for a second. And then I was trying to figure out, how does this work? So ask the question.
Where does he rank on the hierarchy of all-time centers in Cavs history? Because I think he's on it. But for instance, you know,
he's top 10 for sure.
I'm not thinking Kevin Love is a center. I'm thinking Kevin's a forward. You know, something like that. Like Anderson Varejao is a forward. Andy's not a center to me.
Okay.
I'm thinking true centers.
All right, so three names went through my head immediately when you said this.
Okay.
3. Brad Doherty, Zydrunas, and Nate Thurmond. Those are the first 3 that went through my mind. But then I kept saying to myself, I'm haunted every time I think about the NBA Finals.
I'm not thinking like Shaq, because
yeah, Shaq wasn't.
I'm talking about the guy who played the best center for the Cavs during his time here.
Overall? So overall
in franchise history.
To me, it's Brad Doherty, probably number 1. It's Brad Brad had more success.
To me, it's Brad Doherty.
Okay, so we're on the same page there.
First and foremost.
Yeah.
Brad played only 8 seasons here. He was a 5-time All-Star in 8 seasons. People forget Brad was really good. And what Brad was, Dano, don't puke. He wasn't this good. Brad had Nikola Jokic skills. Brad could score. Brad could rebound. Brad could pass. For his career, Brad averaged just under 4 assists per game. And that's not Jokic-like, but Brad could pass the basketball. So Brad was, in his career, 19.9 points, so just under 20 points, and 9.5 rebounds, 3.7 assists. Brad, to me, is the best center this franchise has ever had.
Okay, I thought the same thing. And the one thing, my hindrance on Nate Thurmond was just that he wasn't here long enough.
Nate's not on my list.
And I talked about being, you know, it hit me, like, as a kid, You know, I just like there's a romantic feeling about the Miracle Teams, right?
So you know why Nate's number is retired?
In San Francisco or here?
Here. Because of the impact he had on a very young group, showing them that they can win. This is how you win. And just the impact that that team had on the city. That's why Nate's number is retired. Not because he was an absolute beast on the court here. Nate was at the end of his career.
I'll buy it. And you know what?
He still played well enough.
Yeah.
But he didn't play here for very long. And he was the backup center to the guy who I think deserves to be on this list.
So let me just tell you when I had that realization was during the NBA Finals. And sitting there in Oakland at the time and seeing his name hanging from the rafters made me realize, hey, maybe I'm a little distorted and I've got this Pollyannic view of what he meant to the Cavaliers because his number is retired, because he was a part, you know, in the miracle years. And so that's why, and so that it really hit me as I was watching the Cavaliers win a championship in Oakland. That's when that realization of what you just said, it took me a little while.
If I could pick one guy in his prime, I would take Nate over Brad. I think Nate averaged 20 rebounds a year one year. I mean, he was phenomenal when he was playing for the San Francisco Warriors back in the day. Mm-hmm. But here, he's not on my list. Zydrunas is number two. Z was a two-time All-Star. And remember, other than five games in one year, Z missed the first four seasons in the NBA. He missed three of his first four seasons and then went on to a wonderful NBA career. He averaged almost 14 points and 8 rebounds a game. Z, to me, is the second best center this team's ever had.
Okay.
Then I have a debate, and I'm not sure yet.
I think Jared Allen has a chance to
be number three.
Yes.
I do, too.
And maybe even higher than that.
Too.
But right now, that's where he is pressing to be. If you don't look at Kevin Love as a center, and maybe I don't know how you look at Andy. How do you look at Andy?
I look at him as a forward.
Okay, so if you look at those guys that way, then there's no doubt about it. Because who else does he have to jump? Shaq?
Jim Jones.
Oh, Jim Jones, too. That's right.
Jim doesn't get the credit for being the player that he was. And if Jim had played on a different team in Cleveland, one that didn't go nine guys deep, one that didn't share the scoring like they did, he would have scored close to 20 points a game, I think. Jim, like Jarrett, five seasons with the Cavs. Jim missed 10 games in his first season with the Cavs after he came over from the ABA. He mm-hmm. was with two teams in the ABA, and then he came in. He missed 10 games his first season. Then he played 82 games, four straight seasons. So Jim was out there every day. He averaged over 14 points, just under 10 rebounds a game, and was the mean streak on those Cavs teams. I mean, you didn't want to mess with Jim Jones. And I think Jim, and it's personal choice. Jim maybe slightly ahead of Jarrett, maybe not. And then it's Jarrett. So to me, Jim and Jarrett are right there for the third best center this franchise has ever had. I think Jarrett's tremendous. And could he be an All-Star this year? Yeah, he still might be. And his scoring number is real similar to Jim's. He's a little higher than Jim, 14.9 to Jim's 14.3. And his rebounding slightly higher than Jim's by 0.7 a game. And I think Jarrett's an outstanding NBA player. I loved him when he was in Brooklyn and was thrilled when the Cavs were able to get him.
I'm going to be honest. You know when I love him too? Now. When you listen to him break down a game, you cannot walk away from a game listening to him and not be smarter. And that's kind of how I measure a lot of the analysts.
He can play.
Yeah, but I mean, he's just...
Wait a minute. Are you talking about Jim or are you talking about Jarrett?
Jim.
Oh, okay. I was talking about Jarrett.
No, I was talking about Jim. I was just talking about when Jim's you listen fun. To Jim call a game, like there's no way you can walk out of the game without understanding or picking up something new.
I had the pleasure of doing some games on radio with Jim.
Yeah.
It was a treat. Treat.
Because why? Did you feel educated when you walked away?
Are you kidding? He's incredible brilliant. Basketball mind.
Yes, brilliant. Yeah, so I don't know. I've always appreciated that.
And he's a great guy. And you don't want to make him mad.
No, you don't want to make him mad. No, I actually feel bad for just kind of bypassing him quickly over Brad and Z. And I should have given him a little bit more.
I think Jim and Jarrett are right there. And I could make a strong debate for either one. as the third best center this franchise has ever had. And if Jim had been here longer, he might be the second best that this team's ever had. And if he'd played on a different team that didn't have seven or eight guys who could score double figures, he might be the best center this team's ever had. But he played his role on this team perfectly.
Let me just give you some quick hits, and I just want your immediate reaction on these two. Ready? Bill Laimbeer in the conversation, just not here long enough, or we just remember him as a Piston?
Bill was a young guy who needed some time when he was here, and so he ended up getting it. Played at Notre Dame. Played at Owens Tech in Toledo. His mm-hmm. dad was like an executive with Owens Tech, if I'm not mistaken. And then Bill went to the Pistons in what was it, the Kenny Carr deal, I think, and became a real player.
It's interesting that you go back and look at the 81-82 season when he split time between the Pistons and the Cavs and how his numbers, like, they went down. So what he played 30 games for the Pistons and had 11.5 rebounds and then came here, and all of a sudden he had 5.5 rebounds in the last 50.
It was the other way around.
Was it the other way around?
Mm-hmm.
Started here, 81-82 was with the Cavs, and then
traded to the Pistons.
Cavs, Pistons, Cavs. He in 80-81 he played for the Cavs.
I'm
just telling you.
And you're looking at it.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right here. It's 80-81 Cavs, and then 81-82 Pistons for 30, and then 81-82 Cavs for 50, and then 81-82-83 back to the Pistons for the rest. So this, just looking.
They're stacked differently, Andy.
Okay. All right. Where else was I? Who else on that list of centers that we were just kind of getting?
It's a short list. I think that's it. I don't think there are any other guys that you can actually say these guys were the best centers this team ever had. Milos Babic, you know, should be in that conversation. But
Rodney in Cleveland. Hi, Rodney.
Not even a rim shot.
No.
I hear y'all talking about centers. What happened to the Big E? Elmore Smith.
Love Elmore. You know what? The only problem with Elmore? His best basketball was played in Buffalo. And with the Lakers.
And with the Lakers.
Oh, he did a good job here. I don't think Elmore was as good as Brad or Zadrunas or Jim or Jarrett. But I think Elmore was a beast.
Yeah, he had a good little run.
Elmore was a beast. And such a nice fella.
Yeah.
Have you had his barbecue?
No, I ain't never been there.
Rodney. Barbecue. Rodney.
Okay, I want to ask y'all one more question about the Cavs. So, if you had, you know, to had to take a last second shot, who you going to draw the play up for, Dez Garland or Donovan Mitchell?
That's a great question.
For a shot, you want a shot, a 3-point.
I want a shot.
Yep.
Darius Garland.
Me too. Thank you, Jeff.
You're welcome, Rodney.
Thank you, Rodney. Yeah. Why, Jeff? Why did you make that decision?
I think Darius is a more pure shooter than Donovan. I think Donovan's a scorer. How's that?
Fair enough.
Rodney asked for a shot. He didn't say, get me a basket. If it's a shot, I want Darius taking it. If I want a score, I'm going to give it to Donovan. And if I want the best thing of all, I'm going inside to Evan.
So let me go back to the Jared Allen.
I made Dan laugh.
I know. I saw him. He actually smiled there for a second. And could Allen's ceiling be higher than 3? That's my question for you.
Oh, without question. He could end
What up, does he need to do to
he
get
He could
there?
End up being the best center this franchise has ever had.
What has to happen, though, for that to
Longevity and an increase in productivity. And I don't expect the increase in productivity because I think he's playing about as high as he can possibly play on a team where he's at best the fourth scoring option. Brad was option 1 or 2. You know, it was Brad or Mark Price. It was Brad or Ron Harper. You know, they needed Brad to score points. They don't need Jarrett to score points. I think he could surpass Zadrunas if he's here long enough and he continues to play at the level that he's playing at now. Yeah. You know, his numbers are better than Z's were.
Right.
But Z had longevity, and Z had a lot of skill that people don't really realize.
Huh. Dan, are you buying what he's selling?
It's tough to raise up those lists when nobody runs a play for you.
Yep.
You know, like
the coaches laugh because they don't run a play for Jarrett.
Right. It's the same, like I always remember, and I know nobody in Cleveland's going to care about this, but I always remember it with the Phoenix Suns and Sean Marion. Like, Sean Marion was an unbelievable player with the Phoenix Suns who never had a play run for him. And he did all the dirty work and all the grit, and the people who were watching all of those games were like, Marion, that's my dude. But like,
despite the look of that jump shot.
Exactly. But it it worked for him and
yes,
nobody
it did.
Else.
Yes, it
but
did.
Like, you understood that part of it. And Jared Allen's in that same way. Like, unless you are watching these games, you're not looking at Jared Allen and going like, okay, we're going to run you. We want you to get right at the elbow and we're going to dump it into you in the post and we're going to run all this stuff through him. No, it's you're going to come up and set a screen. You're going to roll from there. You're going to grab some rebounds. You're going to do all that stuff. We'll use you for dribble handoffs, but we're never going to run a play specifically for you to put the ball in the basket.
Not one.
Yep. And so it's always going to be hard when, like, Brad Doherty,
especially,
it into the post.
Especially now.
Yeah.
When the Cavs don't run the pick and roll like they did under JB.
Right, but like Brad Doherty, you dump it into the post. You could run action off of Brad Doherty in
Absolutely.
The post while he could create his own
and
shot.
And then Brad could kick out to a shooter or a slasher or whatever he needed to do.
So it's going to really be hard for somebody to eclipse that unless you find yourself in a position, you know, where, let's say, Jared Allen somehow magically turns into Nikola Jokic where I can run a whole offense through him.
Sam Amico next, Baskin and Phelps.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get it off your chest.
My goal each and every segment
yes.
is to do something that makes Dan go that I can only hear because his mic's off. I got him on that one.
You did get me on that one.
I got him on that one.
That was good.
Doesn't take much.
Cavaliers.
That was a low bar.
Cavaliers have won three straight games.
I'm always appreciative of
the laugh. Yeah, there you go.
Cavs have won three straight games. They beat Detroit 110-91. Then they beat Miami. Big win. Two nights ago, a 126-106, and then last night they took down Atlanta, 137-115.
After the three-game losing streak.
This is correct.
So there you go.
Look at that. And that was after a two-game winning streak. That makes you feel better.
Wow.
Now you feel better? Wonderful. Next two are against Dallas and Boston, Sunday, 3:30. Big game, Dallas, and then a bigger one, Tuesday, February 4th. Be there. Boston.
Aloha.
Yes. All kinds of national TV for that one. 7:30 start. What's going on with your Cavs beyond the fact they've got a couple all-stars and we're sitting around debating who the best center is all time for the Cavaliers? We bring in our super friend of the show from HoopsWire.com. He is Sam Amico on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Hi, Sammy. How are you?
Gentlemen, I'm doing well. How about yourselves?
Samuel?
We are just splendid. Just splendid today. What a win last night for the Cavaliers. Who? There's no problem with Atlanta, is there? They took care of business last night.
All that matters is that you beat them later in the season, right?
Right.
And they sure seem to
dominate the poor Hawks, who have really been struggling. I think that was seven straight losses now. So it's the first time in three games the Cavs have trailed, but they took care of that pretty quickly. We're up 29 in the second half. So, yeah, just been back to their dominant ways again over the last three games.
Our guy Evan Mobley has taken a nice step, Sam. Is he anywhere near his ceiling?
You know, I think that he's probably closing in on it. There are some things that they would like him to, you know, that they're still working on. Kenny Atkinson has kind of turned him into the Cavs' Draymond Green in the sense that here's a guy who's pulling defensive rebounds off the glass and bringing the ball up the floor and facilitating the offense. And Kenny Atkinson has said, I want to see him do it more. You know, we want him to get better at that and more comfortable in that role for when the playoffs get here. And so there are areas that, yeah, they could see him getting better at. Point shooting has taken a little bit of a dip over the past, you know, since he had that injury and he's come back from that. And it's not something that they're, you know, they don't want to turn him into a only three-point shooter, but that element of his game is really expanded this year. They want to see that more consistent. And it just comes with reps, in-game reps. But, you know, Kenny Atkinson was hired to get Darius Garland and Evan Mobley to another level. And guess what? You've got those two guys as all-stars this year. So, you know, there's probably room to grow for Evan. He knows that. But so far, so great in the Kenny Atkinson era.
Sammy, look, they are going to go to the All-Star game, but is there any fear of a little bit of fatigue? Maybe these guys could use a rest after a 39-9 start.
Kenny Atkinson said that like three games ago.
Yeah.
He said, you know, we could use a break. The coaching staff, the players, and it's probably something that's, you know, league-wide. It really seems to impact the contenders right now. You know, the Bostons, Oklahoma City hasn't looked great since beating the Cavs. Boston's been right around 500. Houston's looked good. Memphis has had their up and down. So I think a lot of teams that are in those races that intend to be in the, you know, the thick of it when the playoffs get here, those are the teams right now. Kenny Atkinson said he wish he had little dog stickers so he could put them on his calendar, you know, to indicate that these are the dog days of the season. And it's right. You know, I think that this is a time of year where a lot of the contenders are saying, just get us to the All-Star break, give us a little break, and then we'll make that push. And I also thought it was interesting that Kenny said, we have a different plan of attack for the way things are going to be handled after the All-Star break. We plan to ramp it up even more. And that plan is definitely in place already, broken it out. So, yeah, I think there's without doubt everybody's ready for a little basketball party at the All-Star weekend and just to, you know, kick your feet up and have a good time, take a break.
Sammy, what's this team look like come playoff time? Because as much as we've all enjoyed what they've been doing in the regular season and we see what they've been doing and how they've been doing it, which has been outstanding. I keep thinking, okay, how does this match up come playoff time? Does this work? Does this style work? It worked for Golden State, and I wonder, will it work here?
Yeah, offensively, there's no problems. There's not a single problem. They're averaging 130 points a game. You know, they're finding ways to score even when they're missing some pieces. The other night, Miami, they didn't have Darius Garland, and the offense was as fluid as ever. And you could make the case that Darius has been their best player this year, you know, in a long – and that's not a shot at the other guys. It's just that's how good Darius has been. So I think that the fact that they've had playoff experience makes you doubt that they can keep this going a lot less, right? I mean – this isn't a team that's going into the playoffs as a new team. They look like a new team, but it's the same guys. If that was, you know, our offseason, everybody's offseason complaint was really they're just going to sit there and do nothing but hire a coach. Well, that's really benefited them. Mm-hmm. And the fact that these same guys have played together before in the playoffs, I think will really benefit them. You know, if you 39-9, it's hard to find an Achilles heel, but if you have one, it's been the up and down inconsistency at the defensive end. Well, that's the thing that they're really trying to shore up before the playoffs. Donovan Mitchell said it the other night. He said, look, we're still mastering this zone, and sometimes it falls apart, and that's fine. He said, because guess what? We just have to have it mastered in April, May, and if you're lucky enough to get there, June. So I think that they're not going to do much. Kenny Atkinson, we've asked him, are you going to play 11 guys in the playoffs like you're doing now? And he said, yeah, why wouldn't I? It's working.
Yep.
Let's go with what works. So, I don't think that there's any reason to – your fans and media, we're always going to doubt, hey, are they, this team playoff ready? Because they haven't shown us before that they are. But I think that they're just as – you know, capable of anyone, and they certainly believe that they can beat the Celtics in a playoff series. So, you know, I have no reason to doubt them at this point.
There's one thing about this team too, Sam, that makes me think, yeah, it should be a much better playoff team, is that in the playoffs, you know, defenses tighten up a little bit, right? You would think, and it's usually a little tougher to score in theory. This team's offense is significantly better, and it almost always seems this way, and it might not be fair. If you can play defense, pretty good defense for one quarter in an NBA game, and your offense is pretty good all the time, you're gonna win a ton of games. And J.B. Bickerstaff put some good defensive principles into these guys. Kenny Atkinson has retained those. They're still playing pretty good defense from time to time. Cavs are putting up 137 last night. They're putting up silly numbers. I don't expect their offense to be stagnant like it's been in the past in the playoffs this year under Kenny Atkinson. And that's why I think you keep your fingers crossed, this could be a very good postseason.
Right. And those are the exact reasons why, because they're, you know, when they're shooting 44% from the field as a team, that's a really bad night for them. And, you know, one of the stats that they keep and one of the things analytics-wise that they really, really check out is shot quality. So it's not necessarily are the shots going in. It's are we getting good shots and good looks at the basket? And when you watch these guys, very rarely do they have shots that are challenged, you know, and that really improves your numbers. And that's because of the ball movement, the improved play of their point guard, you know, Ty Jerome's rise this season after missing all of last year. They're just the guys who are the head of the snake, the quarterbacks in Garland and Ty Jerome and Donovan Mitchell when he's playing point sometimes. Those guys have all gotten, I don't know, I don't want to say better, but they've just become more comfortable in this offense. So defensively, you're right. If they can continue, look, they have probably the two top rim protectors, you know, in the NBA, if you're talking about two guys in Mobley and Allen. So that goes a long way in the playoffs, too, being able to defend the rim. They've just really got the one thing that they've got to clean up between now and the mid-April is being consistent at defending the three-point line. And they do that, and they know it. You know, Kenny Atkinson comes out and says it all the time. So those are things that if they can work on, then, yeah, you would think that they would have just as good of a shot as anybody.
Sam, trade deadline, 3 o'clock Thursday. What do you think?
Well, for starters, this is always the week when I'm my crabbiest of the entire year. I can tell you that much.
I can tell you that, too, boy. Don't call him in February.
Right.
Take a nap. You'll be better.
Well, you know, they could do something. You know, I think that they realize they see the same things we do, and it's, yeah, we could probably use a power forward or center to help relieve Jared Allen and Evan Mobley and keep everybody from, you know, you want to get their minutes down and keep their minutes reasonable until the playoffs get here. So I think that's something that they're looking at. I saw the Nance family last night, and I said, boy, would Larry Jr. look real good here again, you know, yeah. That he's the kind of guy they could use, somebody like that coming off the bench who can play both front court positions, give you some athleticism and a guy who can bang. So I think that they've got – the Cavs have their eyes out for those type of players. Obviously, you don't want to mortgage the farm, and they're certainly not going to do that. But if they could find somebody who could help them in that area without really – you know, you hate to move anybody out of this locker room because they're so connected and everybody gets along so great. You don't really want to mess with that. But if you could find some cheap help in the front court, that's something I'm certain that they're going to explore.
What asset do you think they have that's most valuable to try to do something if they want to?
Well, I mean, that's hard to say. I would think that, you know, Caris LeVert, obviously, and this is nothing, not any inside information, it's just me speculating, would be the guy with, you know, the expiring contract who's a nice player and makes winning plays. I think the Cavs would be real hesitant to give him up. Kenny Atkinson obviously loves him from their time together in Brooklyn and now in Cleveland, but that would be the one guy that you would think, if we want to give up something to get somebody, he would probably have to be it. And I think they're real, real hesitant to do that. But if you're asking me what would be the one potentially tradable asset, to me it would be Caris LeVert. You don't have picks to move unless you're talking second rounders. And sometimes you can sucker teams into taking those if you give them two or three. And then they could potentially, those rival teams could use those and move up in the first round. But really, you don't really want to shake up this roster too much. And when Caris LeVert's healthy, he's a pretty big part of things.
Amen. All right, Sammy, have a great weekend. Don't get too stressed out about the trade deadline. And, we'll be looking at hoopswire.com to see what you got going on.
All right, guys. Well, thanks so much for having me. And we'll chat at you soon, I'm sure.
Thanks, right, buddy.
Thanks, Sam. Sam Amico on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
Hey, it's Mark Schler of the Stinky Truth Podcast. The NFL playoffs are here, and I'll be breaking down every matchup as we get toward the big game. Join my co-host Mike Evans and I on the Stinky Truth Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.